Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on PBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Tonight, our cyber travel will go to the West Coast, and we are visiting Richard Best. Good evening, with Richard.
Good evening, Magdalena, and thank you for having me on your show.
Listen, I am so delighted that you actually took my invitation, because I know there was a little question about why me, and I was like, yes, you are, because the reason why, because you have a 40 years of experience, and I appreciate that. So, folks, exactly. So before we actually start our conversation, I just wanted to let our listener know, if you have any question for Richard, please call in 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. And also, I just wanted to thank everybody, because I know tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and for take a little extra time from your family, we very much appreciate that. But listen, we have an incredible topic tonight, and Richard will talk to us about soul contracts. And we are not talking about soul contracts with other people. We are talking about soul contracts with other entities, ETs, demiurge, archons. And who better to talk to than Richard? And the reason why I'm saying that, because Richard, you are actually an intuitive, metaphysical trainer, practitioner, out-of-body traveler. I love that.
Yeah.
And you've been actually, you know, involved in the spiritual growth and learning about, personal development for over 40 years. So before we kind of go into this whole soul contract and what it is, I would actually love to hear your story. What made you involved in that?
Well,
how did you start?
Okay.
How did you start it?
Yeah.
Because behind everything is a story.
Yeah, well, it's the first thing I remember is I was about 14 or 15 and walking down the sidewalk in the evening and looking up at the stars with a big yearning thing, and like, what? I didn't even have a question when I was 15. It was just like, oh. And then right after that, I had my first out-of-body experience, and I had no idea what it was or what to call it, but it came with that fear of death. There's a lot of times when you first have an out-of-body experience, your first ones, you will get vibrations and your body, you can't move your body. It's called sleep paralysis. And then the fear kicks in. And I literally felt like I might die if I don't shake off this sleep paralysis feeling. And so I shook it off. Well, it happened two more times in the same day. And the third time it happened, the fear and the paralysis, I said, you know, there must be something on the other side of this. I'm just going to be gutsy, and I'm going to see what happens. And I just sucked it up and stayed courageous. And the next thing I know, I shifted consciousness to another realm. And I heard,
wow.
Yeah, I heard somebody clapping, like, yay, he made it. So that was my first time, but since then I had a yearning for getting out of body, and in that search, I started learning how to do past life regression, because at that time it was traumatic incidents were the main source of one's inabilities or limitations and psychosomatic illnesses. So I learned how to do that, because it cost too much to actually pay for it. So I became a facilitator, and I got about, maybe 500 hours of past life regressions. And that's when you start learning the history of the galaxy from a personal perspective. So, you know, like we go back millions and millions of years, and these recalls and these memories. And then I gave other people sessions, and they were having similar sessions. And so I kind of got confident in that. But then more advanced training had to do with entities. That, you know, I got introduced to the subject of entities back in about 1984. And it was like, what? There's entities that are bothering me that I don't see or feel? And so from there, I kept researching and looking and more about how to get out of body. And then I learned how to get out of body using actually Robert Monroe's techniques in his first book, Journeys Out of Body. That was, I recommend that one for people. So then I started getting out of body with all that previous experience just with memory. Now I was getting direct experience. Now, I'm not sure what kind of audience we have here, but I don't, that's okay. I would have out-of-body experiences, and I would meet other people in other planes of existence. And I was always a researcher, so I would just ask questions. And I ended up on a few spacecraft talking to ETs. Some of them are human, some of them were non-human. And so that's how I gathered that experience. And then I realized I was intuitive and had a sense for certain things. And I would find people who have extremely good visualization ability. You know, they close their eyes and imagine and touch and feel. I'd say, imagine an oak tree. And they go, yeah. Okay. And a horse. Yeah. And they see the entire pasture, all the grass, and it's extremely vivid to them. Well, because of what I knew about getting out of body, I go, this person is, it's a consciousness shift. Getting out of body is really, it's a consciousness shift to another dimensional plane of existence. And how do you do that? And what's the difference between a dream, a lucid dream, and an out-of-body experience? Well, I understood all that now. And I knew how to literally coach a person into shifting consciousness to a full-blown out-of-body experience. Well, I'm talking to them and coaching them. And so, and it was research at that time, back in the early and mid-90s. And sure enough, I'm getting people, right? They shift into another world, and they touch it, feel it, smell it, talk to people over there, all that stuff. And so then I gathered more information through that research. And then, to wrap it up, to get here in present time, I came across Cameron Day and his information about soul contracts. And I heard about Andrew Bartz's about 1 year ago, about a year and a half now. It was the first I ever heard about soul contracts. In other words, agreements made between lives and before this lifetime. And I was so familiar with what goes on between lives and before this lifetime, but I had never heard about the contractual agreements that we're making to even come into this plane of existence. And I'm going,
well, see, really? Richard, this is the reason that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, because that topic is not so much covered. It is so baby. Still baby. Mm-hmm. There's so much not to talk about. So, please continue.
Well, I'm going, really? Is this? And I go, you know, that sounds about right. And I heard about the reptilians a few years ago. These are these ETs, and they exist in the physical universe. This is my understanding. It's, you know, it's like, how can you prove this stuff? I personally have not seen a reptilian in my house, although I have met people who have. But I go, okay, that makes perfect sense. I've had clients who, back in the 70s, were telling me about not just encounters with the reptilians, but in some of their lives, they were even the reptilian characters. So it wasn't unfamiliar territory about the reptilian aspect of all of this. But we're kind of getting off into the ET thing, but the part about the soul contracts has to do with the theory, or depending on how you feel about it, the understanding or the belief that there are beings that we interact with before we come to this plane of existence. And that information was first brought up in the Nag Hammadi codices. Nag Hammadi is simply a town in Egypt somewhere, and there's a cave, and it's like Dead Sea Scrolls, right? They discovered, I think it was in 1946, these leather-bound books, manuscripts, handwritten, called codices. And different people have been interpreting and translating those, and they are the earliest Gnostic teachings. Now, before Gnosticism was any way, shape, or form related to religion and Christianity, they had their thing that what the Gnostics were. Gnostics means knowing or knowledge. Mm-hmm. And a Gnostic is a practitioner or teacher, an explorer. And what they were good at, really, really good at, was going out of body, consciousness shifting to these other dimensional planes of existence. And that's where they got their direct experience and their knowing to share way back then, thousands of years ago, I guess it was, sharing their encounters with these reptilians, these ETs, these aliens, who called themselves the lords of our planet.
And from John Lush talks about a lot about that, about the Gnostic, and he actually, he was the first one who came up with using the archons.
Yeah, John Lash. Yeah,
exactly.
I just got onto his teachings recently too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, John Lash has been. He's been. My understanding is he's like really dedicated and passionate about.
Yes, he is.
Translating.
Yes.
Translating accurately the record of the archons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm listening to his stuff, and I listened to all of Andrew Bartz's. I think he had like 20 hours. He had a series of the Galactic Historian, and so I listened to all his stuff, took notes, and then he had a soul contract revocation technique. I tried that. And it sort of worked, and I really understood and got the idea and the principles involved. And then one of my viewers said, hey, check out Cameron Day. So I checked out his technique for revoking contracts. And then he talked about how the angelic realm, the archangels, the beings that we meet, that we perceive if we're in a religious Christian religious context, the beings of light that we meet when we cross over, when we die. And he started talking about how the beings, you know, like, I don't know, let's just pick one.
There are many of them outside.
Yeah, there are so many of those. Yeah. So but we encounter, the story is that when we die, some of us, not everyone will do this, and I don't want to freak people out thinking, oh, no, is this going to happen to me? No. Everybody's different, and everybody has choices, and you're going to wake up on the other side wide awake, and everything you learn here, you're going to know when you get over there, and you can make choices. So one of the things is you go. The story is if you go through the light, go to the light, not a good idea. You go to the light, you will end up, long story short, you will end up with a life review with your guides and spirit.
Yeah,
you
know, talking about say they're going to help you. Being trapped in the life review.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you will get, it's kind of a loaded life review. You get to see the crap and go, oh yeah, I was bad. Now these beings that are pretending to be the beings of light, Cameron Day says, no, they're not. They're part of the con. They're part of the trick to get us very powerful beings to agree to go back for another incarnation. And, you know, I go, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
With all that information I've learned over the years and you know, literally back in the 70s, I was encountering traps to trap beings, very powerful beings, and deceive them and implant them with false information and programming to manipulate, dominate, and control. This is back in the 70s. I was understanding this. So Cameron Day kind of brought it together in a new look. And I go, you know, I think that just might be right. So I have chosen.
I better listen to it, huh?
I chose to listen. And then, because I had all these I've also gathered over the years a lot of different spiritual development techniques, you know, how to release limiting beliefs, limiting emotions, entities. We have these cords. They're like communication energy channels from different beings. They hook up to me, to you, to everybody. And some of them are connections with dark beings. And, you know, it's another technique for releasing this stuff. Multiple viewpoint processing, where you look at your traumatic incident from the viewpoint of yourself, but also from the viewpoint of the other person that did it to you. But then also, if there's another person witnessing the experience, you assume that viewpoint as if you are them, and you clear the incident that way. So I came up with I gathered many, many different spiritual development techniques. So when I looked at Cameron Day's technique for releasing revoking an agreement I made with an archon or a one of, they call themselves the Lords of Karma. Mm-hmm. When I revoked those agreements, I had to bring up the agreements. How do you do that? Well, Cameron didn't really explain that part in detail, but that was okay because I had so much experience with this sort of thing. So I go, oh, well, here, just do this. I'll just do this and this. Yeah. And I pull up, like, in one session, I come up with 20 agreements, and then 30, then 40, then 50. And I go, oh, my God, I see how this works. There's a lot of agreements here. And you have a core agreement, which will be the sole contract agreement on a given issue. And then you gather other agreements that you literally have to make. You agree. And it's not a mystery. It's like right now, I agree. You know, I'll look at something and I say, well, do you agree it's a nice day? Yeah, it's a nice day. I agree. Yeah.
Well, you agree to be on the show, too. This is agreement.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So these agreements all play a part, and it's a vast subject in itself, what agreements are and how they literally create our reality. If you don't agree that, how do we go about this? If you do not agree that, well, let's
they
say.
They cannot do anything for it.
Yeah. If I look up in the sky and I see a UFO, and I go, oh, Charlie, look, UFO. He doesn't see it. I mean, it's just floating there. He doesn't see it. He doesn't agree that it's there.
He's not in agreement. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it agreement becomes part of our reality. Now, if me and Charlie see it, but four other people don't, well, it's real to us, but it's not real to the people that don't see it. There's no agreement. So it becomes, if I saw like a shadow being in my house, and it's very clear, and it's a person that just ducked around the corner, I go, did you see that? And somebody else was right here with me, and they said, no, I didn't see nothing. They don't agree with me. So I go, well, maybe it wasn't real. Maybe I just imagined that. So as we look into the subject of agreement, we see how it fits with reality. And when you really ratchet back to the basics, this universe, physical universe, is a mental construct that we create with the supermind or the subconscious mind or whatever, some aspect of our great consciousness that we are. We create, along with others, this world, and we all agree to the props, the tables, the chairs, the floor, the sky, and it becomes our reality. But you can shift consciousness out of here. And you really don't move anywhere, but this material world will fizzle and disappear, and a new environment will manifest around you when you shift consciousness and go out of body.
Listen, as I'm listening to you, I have a right now totally crazy question.
Okay, go for it.
The craziness right now, what I would like to ask about is, would it be then that what we are experiencing right now on the earth and in this timeline or different timelines or whatever, could that has to do something also that a lot of us are starting to break our agreements? I mean, look at the chaos that we are dealing with.
Yeah. Are you saying that the way reality is changing for us, it has to do with breaking agreements?
Yes, exactly. I mean, look, like, if you look right now, the world, I mean, it's a total chaos, insanity. So my question, I mean, my personal feeling is that actually a lot of us are actually breaking the agreements from the past. And now, you know, we are dealing with a chaotic world right now.
Yeah.
Would that?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with a book called Seth Speaks.
Yes.
An old 70s book.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good book. Yeah. Jane Roberts, Channel for Seth. Okay. So, yeah, I read that back in the 70s, and that was some deep stuff. And what he shares that I totally get, I'm in it, is that there are many, many different alternate timelines.
Exactly. And, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So every step you take, every decision you make, there's, you could go this way or that way. And we all are like the masters of our own ship. And by virtue of what we think, feel, and decide and believe, we can move, we can track different futures for planet Earth. Now, so in any given moment, I look at the entire population of planet Earth, and really I have to look at it from my perspective because I have to create all of it. I'm in agreement, I'm creating it with everybody else, but if I don't create this, I don't experience it. And mm-hmm. I create it, imagine it, and agree that it does exist the way I imagine that it does, and it does. It exists this way. So when I hear these icky predictions that just really, whether I'm good at it or not, what I do is like, no, I ain't going with that one. I don't like that. That's creepy. And I choose in consciousness a different future track. And so here I am, and this is what I've got today. What the world is today is the final outcome up to this point for this particular reality track timeline I'm going down. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we do have the opportunity to change what others predict is going to happen to us. And we all, from our own personal points of view, are the creator of our entire universe. That makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. I just have to kind of, totally. I it makes sense to me, but I always like, you know, when my guest gives a explanation to our listeners. Something interesting happened today morning. I was sitting here and drinking my coffee, and I was trying to connect with you through the videos, and I was watching one of your videos where you were talking about the truth seeking, okay? And as I'm listening to that video, and all of a sudden it just hits me, we have a full moon today in Gemini. And the sun is in Sagittarius. The Sagittarius is about the seeking the truth. Well, guess what? The Gemini is the trickster. And I said, oh my God. I mean, I could literally recognize. I said, oh my God, here is the trap, because you are talking about that these bad boys are actually even using us for seeking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that video?
Yeah.
Probably
no, not specifically. I kind of got like 700 videos.
I know.
And about 400.
Okay.
400. Anyway, but yeah.
Okay, here this
yeah,
one. Richard. Richard, yeah. Reptilian Anunnaki Illuminati. Bad boys use our desire for truth to limit you. Here is how. That's the video.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah.
Yes.
Now I got it. Absolutely. Yeah,
we
seek the truth. Go. No, you go ahead. Go. What now?
No, that was amazing to me. I said, oh my God. Gee, even that we are used to get sidetracked on it. It was amazing.
Yeah. You know, that's why I say I'm an intuitive because of that. That sort of thing. It's something I noticed about me when I was in my early 20s. I'd be talking to a friend of mine. And, you know, I'd learn a little something about past life regression or the mind or something. And I would share what I learned with friends, and they would have realizations. And it happened so many times that I go, wow, huh, that's interesting. So I recognized it as a trait, not so much an ability. And then after I learned a little more in the 90s, I started realizing when I start talking about a subject, stuff just comes to me. It's not like channeled from another being. It's like mm-hmm. I'm more open to the source information of my greater self or something like that. But okay. It just flows right through me and comes right out. It's like it, and some of it sounds pretty good, you know, in some of these videos I make. So, yeah.
Listen, what I would like to do is let us go back and talk about what is a soul, what is actually number one, Richard. Can you explain our listeners, what do you mean when we are using the word soul? What is that? I mean, I know what it is, but, you know, I would like to kind of clarify for our audience.
Yeah, I try to keep it simple because when you get really into it, there's the soul and the higher self, over-self, over-soul.
No, we are just talking about pure soul.
Yeah, the way I use it in this context is it's just the spiritual you. It's like mm-hmm. when the physical body drops dead, you leave, that would be the soul being that you are, and then you go off and get into mischief or have fun or whatever you do. And it's this spiritual you as distinct from the you that becomes incarnated as a human being with a human mind and all that. So yeah, it's just the soul is you when you leave here in this context. Simple. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a soul go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And now let's go in the explanation, you know, let's help our listener understand what this soul contract mean.
So a soul contract, let's define contract is mm-hmm. An agreement that one makes that's binding in some ways, legally binding or spiritually binding. And I like to see the play in words here. A contract will cause a person or being to contract. They become limited by the agreement they made. Doesn't matter what they agree, bind themselves to it, agree to it. And now they have to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, or they have to go quit at 5, or they got to do what they've agreed to do.
No wonder I hate contracts.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So we make an agreement. So a contract is an agreement a soul contract is an agreement that we make before we incarnate into the physical world. Now mm-hmm. that's the way Cameron Day explained it. But if you step back a little bit further from that, you know, like a million years ago, were you here? Were you doing things? Were you in a human body making agreements and contractual agreements? Or were you a free spirit flying around the universe or visiting different planets and incarnating and leaving whenever you want, go out of body when you want, shift into the other planes of existence when you want? Or did you make an agreement as a spiritual being, as a soul, did you make some contractual agreements to limit yourself in your spiritual freedoms? And if you did, we'd call those soul contract agreements too.
So, Richard, are you familiar with Steve Richards' holographic kinetics? He works with that energy too, and they're talking about millions of years contracts made.
Oh yeah, that makes total mm-hmm. sense to me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I do the soul, when you do a soul contract revocation. It may be a soul contract you made with these archons or these beings that are pretending to be our spiritual guides and lords of karma and the wonderful beings of light that they are not. We might be making
agreements with them. I would actually like if you will talk more about that, because this is hugely important, Richard. People mm-hmm. are so kind of trapped in this fuzziness or shininess about or promises what these beings make to the people, and then some of them, they are actually even not in the best interest of the humanity. I would like to kind of, I would like you to talk more about that.
Okay. It sounds like science fiction, but the Gnostics realized that these archons, and that's just a label they gave for the beings who considered themselves rulers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a Greek word or something that means ruler or lord, something like that. But anyway, they call themselves the archons, and in fact, they are the reptilian race. They are the reptilian race, or the kind of the high end of the, and there's more than one kind of reptilian and more than one species of reptilian. There's drakes and just all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
But based generally, the reptilian ET, advanced race, been around for millions and millions of years, have been playing this game of control and domination on other beings that are into love and light and awakening and, you know, evolution and spirit. So it's like it's been a us against them game in this universe, in this universe of duality and polarity. So in this universe, we get good, bad, right, wrong. We get love and hate. We get right and wrong. I said that. And all this. And it's like the basic agreements you would come into this universe with. You would agree to these basic agreement. These would be soul contracts. You have to agree to what is good and what is bad. You have to agree with what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In your own heart, in your own, you get your own values set up, and that becomes your polarities to play within the physical universe experience. But now you have to, if you want to play in physicality, in the material world, you have to incarnate into this world, and it gets fuzzy here. Whose story is accurate? But the idea is that you have to make these soul contract agreements, and you incarnate.
Let me ask you the question: Do we have to make these soul contracts before we come here?
Yeah, it's like if you're going to use Microsoft software, you can't use it unless you accept the terms of service. It's an agreement, you have to, kind of thing. And so they've kind of got dibs on planet Earth, physical plane of existence. And now, if you want to incarnate on planet Earth in the physical world, then you have to agree, or at least we believe we have to agree, to these we have to make a
contracts.
Deal. We have to make a contractual contract.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and this is a story I've heard basically from Cameron Day and Andrew Bartzitz and a few others. But I go, okay, that makes sense. So the next trick, the archons are they're shapeshifters in the higher planes. We can basically all shapeshift. Just with our wild and crazy imagination, we can do all kinds of things. That distinguishes us from them. These archontic reptilian beings, for some reasons, they don't have an imagination. They can copy us. They can get us to create what they want us to. And that's how they're masters at manipulation and deception. And they get us agreeing that life is a certain way, and then because we agree that it is, we imagine that it is, and with our great imagination and supermind, we literally manifest the physical reality hologram that this place really is. And that's what they do, and they've been doing it on us for millions and millions of years. On this planet, maybe not so long, or maybe longer. I don't really get that part. But they get us to agree to things. And we're so far down in this game that we have forgotten how powerful we are, where we came from, what we were doing before we came to planet Earth. And, you know, we have no, most of us have no memory of past lives or our great, powerful spiritual nature. So they get us to agree to incarnate with all these limitations. And they have, it's just a great number of limitations they get us to agree to. Now, we only have to release or, you know, spot some of the core agreements to start breaking free. And when your body dies or my body dies, we can leave here. We are, it's simply what we believe and what we choose. We can be free of all of this. It's while we're in this world, it's where they do most of their programming. And through TV and media and just education, just all kinds of ways. But they, this is where they get us to buy into the limiting beliefs. But we can snap right out of this and be free. We don't have to get caught up. We don't have to go to the light. We don't get caught in a between lives implant. And we aren't caught by an energy net around the planet. There may or may not have been one. I think there was an energy field that kind of like holds beings in here on planet Earth after they die, but that didn't work on every being. That never did. And a lot of people can just, you know, even 1,000 years ago, they could drop dead and they could be free of this place. While others were caught in their limitations and their beliefs and things like this.
Yeah, and they're getting thrown back and looping back into karma.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bought into the karma thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so these beings will get us to agree to all kinds of wild and crazy things, and then we get and agree to a mind wipe, and we go, we're blank, and we're back here for another trip. So
talking about playing guilt on us.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got to get us to agree to come back for another round. If we don't agree, it won't happen. So what they do, one of the strategies they use is they use religion while you're here to program you to believe certain things about the afterlife. And that if you are a sinner, and then they give you a bunch of agreements, like if you're a good Christian, you would agree, not you or me, but necessarily, but a person would agree to the Ten Commandments. Those are rules. In other words, agreements. You make these agreements and you break those agreements. You can always break an agreement, a soul contract agreement. You can break it, but it comes with penalties. Or are other agreements. You agree that if you are late on your rent, you know, for more than 30 days, you will get fined so much money. So you not only agree to the pay rent on time, but you agree to the penalties. Same thing. We make these agreements when we incarnate on planet Earth. And then we make some agreements on the penalties if we don't abide by those agreements or if we break those agreements. So it's just loaded up with agreements. So Ten Commandments, break agreements. You are programmed to think you're wrong, bad, or guilty. And you've been programmed for redemption and salvation. So you drop dead. You've been programmed to go to the light. Don't do it. You go to the light. It's an implant station. It's like, throw up some lights, dazzle some people, bring them in groups. It could be hundreds of people at one time, a big auditorium or something.
That is totally insane. That's totally insane. And as I was listening to Steve, he talks about, from the other aspect, he says, they're coming in our dimension, and we are the ruler of this 3D. They are, you know, coming from different dimensions, so they have to obey our rules.
Well, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
Very interesting to look further into. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I'm just kind of sharing this with you. Uh-huh. Because he talks about, you know, but when we go, for instance, you are doing out-of-body traveling, then you have to obey those other dimensions you are traveling in it.
Well, now here's the thing about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
See, I told you we will have an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I've been to some worlds where I cannot fly and I cannot walk through the walls. But I can certainly talk to the people and smell the roses and and things like that. In other worlds, I can fly, levitate, walk through walls, really neat. And I go, okay, I get it now. My new look at things is, well, actually, I understood it quite a few years ago. When we go into other realms from an out-of-body experience perspective,
mm-hmm.
we go over there, we do not agree to the rules of physics or the rules of play in that game universe or in that spiritual universe or that environment or that dimension or plane or realm or density. We're not agreeing. And because, you know, I look around and I see other people, they can't fly. They cannot fly. They can't levitate things. I can. So in their world, I become an avatar or what you would call an ascended master in their world. Not here, but in their world, I'm like, wow. But they can't do it. It's because they have agreed to certain things about their world that I did not. But I've agreed mm-hmm. to can't fly here and I can't walk through walls here. So I go, okay, yeah, I see how this works. So I have that perspective on this agreement thing too.
Okay.
But where were we?
don't worry. Listen, that's pretty interesting. Yes. Well, listen, next question would be for you is that, so, okay, how does a removal of this contract works, you know, or to how to revoke a contract? Or how do we know that we have an entity?
Yeah, okay. Those are two great questions. The first one first would be, how do we remove the contract? Well, first, you need to spot the contract, the agreement, mm-hmm. and all the other agreements that gather. They kind of like the core agreement will cause other agreements to gather around it. And so you want to, the way I teach people in Soul Contract Revocation Bootcamp is, you basically look at your issue. You take it apart by issue. And I have an issue. What's my issue? Oh, let's just say overeating. Just something simple and easy to think about here for a second. And mm-hmm. So you talk it up about you look over your issue. And I teach people how to, you just kind of like journal style, just write down their thoughts and feelings and beliefs and things about their overeating issue. And while they're doing that, the agreements are coming to the surface and you don't even know it. But it's too simple. It's just they start, oh look, what do I do next? Well, you look over your notes and you go, oh, do I agree that I eat too much? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do agree I eat too much, especially at dinner time. I agree that I like feeling really full. Oh, you know, look, that's an agree. Yeah. And you look at your notes. And you go, do I agree? No, I don't agree with that. Do I agree? Yeah. And you just spot all your agreements, right? And you don't even need to look for a soul contract, deep core agreement. It'll be in there. It'll be all just one more thing you said or wrote or made a note about. And it'll be one of your, most likely, a core contract agreement that you made before you came into this planet and you agreed to it as part of your character makeup. And the archons want you to agree to limitation. So anything that they can get you to agree to that's going to make you feel wrong, bad, guilty, unhappy, depressed, or anything, any kind of a bummer or agitation, they'll do it. So apparently we have loads and loads of agreements everywhere. And the trick is to find the key ones that will, when you revoke the agreement, and I'll just go on that in just a sec, real quickly. But when you revoke the agreement, then it's gone. You don't agree to that anymore, and your reality literally changes. You don't agree that you overeat anymore, and you don't. And the next time something comes up, you don't have that urge. You don't have junk food. I did it on junk food, you know, for example. It just goes away. There's more to it, but that's how that works. Now, how you actually revoke the agreement after you find them, you might have 20 or 30 agreements on a given issue. Now, the way you revoke them is simply using Cameron Day's technique for revocation. And what you're doing is you're calling up the agreements, all the copies and duplicates and backups of the agreement. There's a thing called reinstatement clauses that if you cancel agreement or revoke it, something in your life, a turn of phrase or a picture or an image, will cause it to reinstate and it'll put it back. And then there's the people we made, the beings we made the agreements with. They have a copy of the agreement, just like here in the real world, and they're called counterparties. So you make sure you call up all the duplicates, backups, copies, counterparty copies, everything, and then you stand in the power of your divine inner self sovereignty. You call in assistance. Your divine inner self helps. You revoke these agreements. The being that is Mother Earth, Gaia Sophia, she helps with this because her idea, original plan, was to have this to be a free and wonderful, loving place for spiritually enlightened beings.
Exactly, yes.
So she'll help. And then she has a counterpart. John Lash has been working on who this counterpart is and what's his name. And the last name we've got, I think, is Theletos, Theletos, maybe. But this is like the male counterpart of Sophia, and he's at the galactic core, if in fact we're going to call him a he. But they kind of work this creation together of this planet Earth thing. And so we call upon the Earth's core, and we call upon the galactic core being. And they will help. And then there's a few other steps in the Cameron Day process that I use. Mm-hmm. But when you get to step 12 is where you declare that you remove all imprints, implants, overlays, beliefs, attitudes, perceptions, identities, and frozen emotions. And I go, what is that? What the? And because, right? So I looked up each word and I cleared it really clearly. Okay, yeah. Plus I had my experience over the years of doing this kind of work. I knew what an implant was. Overlay was kind of new, but I had another name for something like that. I go, oh, I see that. And what is an imprint? Well, they can imprint all kinds of ways. It can be a tattoo on your freaking forehead, or it can be in DNA. You can have a DNA imprint or cellular imprints, which are different from implants. And so we got all these. And so anyway, when you get to step 12 in Soul Contract Revocation Bootcamp, little plug here, I do almost a two-hour video to explain each of those kind of like bullet points, what they are really. So when you get to step 12, you can remove all that stuff too. And it removes because it will be in your space, but you've already removed the agreements that cause those things to be able to be in your space and part of your mind and your issue in the first place. You revoke the agreements, that's clean. All the copies, that's clean. Now you can let go of all these other components were part of it, which you just declare it and you can remove them.
So Richard, oh my God. Okay. We have only 6 minutes, but I will ask you this. I know. Do you see it? Okay. So practically when you do all these removals, your life is not the same anymore then, correct?
Right. Oh, it totally changed. Inside out, changes. It's weird.
Wow.
We literally have to agree to have an emotional response. The emotional responses that you and I have about things that happen in our lives, some things make us happy, some things make us sad or bummed or pissed or angry or depressed or agitated or grumpy. We have agreements to feel that way when that happens. Two people can stand side by side and they watch the same event and they have two different emotional responses. I used to think it was all past life issue stuff. Mm-mm, it's agreements. You know, it might have been something in a past life that caused you to agree, but it's the agreement that makes it so. So you can learn to pull up your emotional responses, the agreements, and the agreements to respond that way, and literally revoke those agreements. And so next time, you don't have that negative response that you had.
So when you're talking about these, bad responses and all this stuff, and I just wrote down frozen emotions. So that can also be actually feedback from your body, having this frozen emotions and connected to how you feel. That can be also a part of it. Doesn't have to be, and those frozen emotions can be actually from past life or past God knows how old experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of frozen in time and they're locked in, and you're pretty well easy to recognize them on a given issue. You have an emotion that normally kicks in and it's hard to shake. So you can release those and revoke those and remove those.
That is pretty amazing. Listen, I want you to let our listener know how they can get in contact with you if they have any question. And do you mind to talk about your bootcamp, about the soul removal, soul contract removal, and your websites?
You can go to my website at www.richwest.net. And it has the Soul Contract Removal Boot Camp, and a new boot camp I just put together was Entity Removal Boot Camp. And they kind of work; they work together. So if you buy one, you get the other one for no extra cost. So there's that. And let's see what else.
Yeah, actually, I have to say to our listener, I checked out your bootcamp and it's pretty reasonable. A price is amazing and they can start anytime. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can start anytime. I did an earlier one where I had a start date and an end date. And many people had so many things going on in their life, they needed to take a little longer. And it was so successful that, I should have allowed people to start any time. So I reset it up so a person can start any time. So it's running now. You could start tonight or you could start next week. And you can take as long as you need to do the course. And Entity Bootcamp is the same. Now, Entity Bootcamp is it's kind of an extension to Soul Contract Bootcamp in that people have real entity issues. I get a lot of information and feedback from viewers. They literally are being harassed by reptilians or ET looking things or demon things or devil looking things. It's just your classic, you hear about this stuff, demons and entities. Mm-hmm. They cannot be in your space unless there's an agreement of some sort at play. You may not agree to have the crap scared out of you every night by a reptilian entity that visits you in the astral, but there's some kind of an agreement at play. And so I put this together so people could focus more on the entities that are involved with our issues and that will release. The entity will have to back off and get out of your space or get sent for handling by greater beings like Gaia Sophia, the galactic core being, the galaxy beings and stuff like this. They will help in this regard.
Well, see, this what is amazing to me, Richard, what I find out so far is that when you break up your agreement or contract and when you demand that they back off, they have to listen to that part, because otherwise they will get they can be, sent to the galactic core, whatever.
Yes, exactly. And it's so true, man. They back off. They get out.
They may be pissed, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and in many cases, they may actually fight you in the beginning.
Yeah. And so it just... if one gets a little tricky and doesn't want to leave and you have a little problem with it, you just kind of review your issue with that specific entity, and there'll be other agreements.
Ah, here we are. Okay.
And then they're out of here. They got to go.
Okay.
They got to go.
Well, awesome, Richard. Okay, we have to kind of finish. The time is over. Well, listen, I'm so delighted that we had the time to kind of talk about this very important issue. And thank you for sharing. And to our listeners, please, go on Richard Vest, his website, and you can actually find him on my site also, on Conscious Thought with Leo. And thank you, everybody. And have an absolutely amazing Thanksgiving with your family. And thank you, Richard, for being on the show.